All right, well, I'll go ahead and begin. Thanks very much for coming, first of all. Allow me to say that I have no relationships to disclose. Let me begin also by saying that I don't have a picture of Alaska superimposed over the lower 48 United States. It's too bad. But I will say this, and I just learned this fact a few minutes ago. If you sliced Alaska in half, then Texas would be the third largest state in the country. So let's begin by saying that I'd like to talk about three separate systems by which water is provided to households and by which waste is discarded from those households, and talk a little bit about some of the differences between those systems and how they relate to health outcomes, and specifically what might be some of the determinants of those differences. We begin with the pipe system. The pipe system is one which we're probably most familiar. In this system, as you can see, households all receive water from a central well and water filtration facility, usually maintained by the village. All the households have sinks and toilets, and it's pretty much what we're used to today, apart from the fact that the pipes are often on top of the ground as opposed to underneath it, because the permafrost in the ground will oftentimes heave and it can break the pipes if they're hidden from view, and then you won't be able to find the leak. The second type of system is a self-haul system. This is one in which the household members have to procure their water themselves. They can take a bucket to a water point, which is a well and a water filtration plant somewhere in the village, and then carry it back to their home, or they can also get it from another source, say a local river, or from a local pond. And then, of course, they also have to haul away their own waste, which is known as a honey bucket. And they will carry these buckets out of their house, and if they're fortunate, they have centralized places in which they can dispose of that waste called bunkers. And this is an example of a bunker in one of the villages. As you can see, it's probably full, so the people have started leaving the 5-gallon buckets beside the bunker. Finally, the third type of system that I'd like to talk about today is the small vehicle haul system. In a small vehicle haul system, a community employee delivers water to homes from a central watering point and treatment plant. It's typically transported, as you see here, in an insulated tank mounted on a trailer that's pulled by an all-terrain vehicle. Each home has something between a 100 and 150-gallon tank that's kept in an area that's warm so it won't freeze. And with the addition of a small on-demand pressure pump, the tank will supply water to kitchens and bathrooms in the home. Now, a difference between a haul system and a pipe system is that in a haul system, the householder is charged a fixed rate per fill-up. And so as a consequence, increased water use means increased cost to the user. This is an example of the second half of the self-haul system. In addition to having water brought to your home, the waste is taken away from the home in a hopefully separate container and dumped in a sewage lagoon, as you see here. Now, some differences between these three different kinds of water systems in the state. As you can see, many of these are related to cost, and we're going to talk about that first. Pipe system, very high capital costs. They can cost millions of dollars. But the operating costs can be relatively low as compared to some of these other systems. Small haul system, on the other hand, the small vehicle haul system, relatively low capital costs. You have to pay for a boardwalk and the all-terrain vehicle and the two containers. However, after that, the village is responsible for paying for operations costs, which can be relatively high over time, as you might imagine, when you're towing a heavy all-terrain vehicle and a tank on top of a boardwalk. You begin to see breakdowns in both types of machinery. And finally, the self-haul system, very low in both cases. It's important to note here that capital costs are typically paid by the state, whereas the operating costs are paid by the village. Now, a second way that we might compare the three types of systems is to take a look at how much water is consumed by people who have these different types of distribution methods. And as you can see, households that have a pipe system use a great deal more water than those that use either a self-haul or a small-haul water system. I should say that these data belong to the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, and that they use metered water. That is, the water that's either coming from a water point in the villages that use a small hall system, or through the pipe for those who are using the pipe system. Now, this is just one slide of a much larger data set. How many of those, by the way, had an opportunity to attend the president's session that took place immediately before this one just next door? Okay, well, this is new to most of you. Basically, what this slide demonstrates is a close association between the percentage of served households in a village of residence and various types of respiratory disease hospitalization rates for children in those villages. It's probably important here to keep in mind that we're talking about relatively small villages. And so we're talking here in the case of some of the villages with very low rates of served water systems, as much as one-third of all infants are hospitalized for various types of respiratory diseases. So what I was wondering, and the reason for the study that we're about to talk about, is what are some of the differences? What explains these differences, both in terms of practices and health outcomes in these villages? And as an initial stage, we began to collect some pilot data, some formative data, from residents of two sets of villages, one set that was a small vehicle haul system, and then another village that was piped. We conducted in-depth interviews, that is, we collected risk perceptions, how people assessed the safety of the water that was delivered through these three different kinds of systems, their satisfaction with the system in general, and then finally, what kinds of water use practices are associated with these two first data sets. And here are some of the results, and begin to explain a little bit about some of those findings. To begin, as you see, there were some very significant heterogeneity in terms of how it is that people perceived the safety of the water delivered by these various systems. And it's probably most important to point out here that those members of communities served by the small vehicle haul system were least likely to drink the water. The water was seen as unsafe, that in fact water from the river was seen as safer than water delivered by these tanks. And there was concerns that the water tasted kind of chemically. In many cases, it left a stain around the containers that held the water for the household. And also, frankly, the water wasn't delivered as often or as on time as people would have preferred. And so as you might imagine, all of these, that last issue actually increases the likelihood of water rationing because you can't be sure when they're going to arrive to refill the tank. So you're going to hold on to some water just in case. And also, people are going to hold on to water from other sources. In terms of water use practices, they would go to the river. They would collect rainwater. They would melt ice to get water that they would drink. And at the household level, some households would say we go to the river. Other households would say we go elsewhere. There was a great heterogeneity at the household level. And finally, as part of the water rationing practices that I mentioned earlier, they oftentimes chose to return to honey buckets and would actually begin to carry these buckets out to the remaining bunkers in the village, if there were any, in order to try and reduce the number of hauls they had to pay for in terms of having these people come back and pick up the waste from the household. They also tried to reuse water, so they would put basins and sinks to reuse water for hand washing. They also reuse water for laundry. Here are some examples of what this might look like in some of the village settings. This is a trash can that actually is full of rainwater. There's some ice floating in it because it was cold that day and it had been stored outside until we arrived. Interesting thing here is that when we were conducting an interview with the sanitation engineer who actually ran the water plant, he asked us if we wanted some coffee. And we said yes, and so he dipped the water out of the trash can rather than use the water that he makes himself to make us coffee. So it demonstrates just exactly how common it is that people aren't going to drink the water that are actually provided by the system itself. Thank you. This is an example of some of the bunkers in a village that actually is a small vehicle haul system. People are returning to using honey buckets, but the system didn't have the infrastructure to support it. This was the village resident who had the unenviable task of going around and picking up these containers and cleaning out the small vehicle haul septic tanks. And so He drove us around the village and pointed to places where there used to be bunkers, but that had been removed because the village had made the transition to the small vehicle haul system. So we're beginning to see these clusters of raw human sewage around the village, which, as you might imagine, represents something of a public health challenge. There are several policy implications here that I think it's important for us to highlight. The first one is that if the state begins to implement the development of these small vehicle haul systems, there needs to be a very strong health education program. There needs to be some sort of culturally tailored campaign to try and promote the consumption of safe water in these systems, or at least to educate people about how it is that water can be rendered safe if they choose not to drink the water from the system itself. I also should point out that those earlier studies that I highlighted for you may actually be stronger because the health protective effects of pipe water systems could be somewhat diluted. They contained both small vehicle haul and piped as served when they compared them to the self-haul systems. And as a consequence of that, there may actually be a stronger association in some cases with those. And then finally, the heterogeneity that I mentioned in terms of how it is that people chose to procure and use water at the household level in the small vehicle haul system suggests that any subsequent study should be at the household level rather than being an ecological study at the village level. And finally, and in closing, my favorite four words of the language, further study is required. And I think we're taking questions at the end of the session, so thanks very much.